Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good to see you tonight. Just turn to your neighbor, tell them you're lucky you got to sit by me, huh? Let them know they're lucky they got to hang out with you. And if you have a Bible on you tonight, I want you to open it up to the book of Habakkuk, all right? Or probably it would be pronounced more like Habakkuk, something like that, in the original language. That's the way we said it in Providence growing up. You know, Providence, we spoke close to the original biblical Hebrew. But I think Americans know it as Habakkuk. So go to Habakkuk chapter 2, and I want to pick up a little bit. I was talking Sunday morning about vision. Everybody say vision. And we'll be talking this coming Sunday morning. We talked about kind of who we are on Sunday morning, what our core, what our DNA is, and that is we believe that we're designed to love God, love people, and love life. Come on, everybody say this out loud. Say, love God, love people, and love life. Let's say it one more time. Love God, love people, and love life. And from the beginning of my Christian experience where I became a leader in the church, after I've been in the church for a little while, and you start leading, you start getting challenged with, you're supposed to be a guy that brings vision to the church, right? You're supposed to get vision from God and bring vision to the people. And then we became church planners. It became my job to come up with a church name. Jesse, she claims she came up with the name River City. I say I did. Nobody will ever know. We fight about it. She's saying she did right now. But we had to name a church. And really, you just name a church to give it some sort of denotation of what church, what building they're going to, right? All of our churches have different names around the city, but how many of y'all know it's really just his church? It's Jesus's church. Come on, if you believe that, give God a hand clap. We don't, it's really just his. We're letting him know the address, right? The location, but it's really all his. And if I could name a church the perfect name, I'd just call it church. Nothing more, nothing less. I love the name church, not the church, a church, the church of all, just church is a great name. But that won't work because nobody can find you on Google, all right? They got to be able to find us. We have to come up with a name, and that's part of it. So then they say you got to name a church. Then you have to come up with a vision for a church, right? And you'll see all these people that come up with clever little vision statements for the church. It's like uniting the generations. You ever seen a church with something like that up? Or there'll be a church, you know, like teaching people to live the abundant life in Jesus. I've seen that vision out there before. The church we came out of was bringing victory to every area of your life. I got saved and discipled in a victory church. You know, and I think all of those are great parts of what the church does and great parts of the gospel. Somebody say amen to that. Nothing wrong with any of those statements. But kind of giving the church a vision, I've always felt like the church is his church. Come on, unless the Lord builds the church, those who build it labor in vain. Somebody say amen to that. And really, if he's not behind what we're doing, nothing we do really works or really matters. So it's going to be his church, number one. Number two, the vision has to be his vision. Everybody say his vision. And I think his vision for the church is clearly laid out for every church, is clearly laid out in the New Testament. And those ideas are the great commandment and the great commission. So we know that's what we're going to do. That's who we are. That's what we're called to be as a church body. We need to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. It's that simple. That's the vision of the church. It should be the vision of every church. Now, I know every church has its nuance, has its personality, probably has a certain group of people that like it and don't like another body. You know, there's flavors and all of that. But really, we live to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. That's what we ought to do corporately. Does anybody agree with me out there that that's what we should do as a church body? We should fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. So that's what we do as a people. And now we also have to think about our vision as a church. That's what we do as a people. But we need to think also, I think we need to have vision that's corporate. And we also need to have vision that's personal. It's my vision. What am I doing with my life? Did God put me on this earth just to suck air, right? To draw a check, to get off on Friday afternoon, to sleep in on Saturday, to mill in here on Sunday morning and start it all over again on Monday aimlessly? I don't believe that's God's plan for your life. I believe God put you here to thrive. I believe God put you here to develop. I believe God put you here to mature. I believe that God put you here to show the world what Jesus looks like. Come on, somebody. I believe that God put us here to go upward and onward into every good thing that he has for us. Come on, we're called to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from one level to another level. So I think vision for us corporately is important, and I think vision for us personally or privately is important. That private vision we have must also, for a Christian person, fit into the corporate vision Jesus has for his church. We do not live alone. Come on, turn to your neighbor, just tell them we're in this together. Let them know that. We're in this together. For Christians on the planet, there's somewhere right north of 2 billion of us. There's 7 billion people on the planet. I'm talking every shape, form, fashion, a person that says that Jesus is Messiah. Both Protestant, Catholic, you name it, we'll lump everybody in there. There are about 2 billion of us on the planet that say that Jesus is Messiah. And now there are several billion people on the planet, at least a billion, that think that we shouldn't, many of them think that we shouldn't have the right to live anymore. So how many of you think we ought to be in this together? Somebody say amen to that. We're for them, amen? We're for everybody to prosper, succeed, and achieve, and come to know the love of Christ. But I'm telling you, we're better together. I want to take you to one of the key scriptures about vision that people preach out of, they teach about, they talk out of, and I just want to kind of coach tonight more than I want to preach. I love to preach. It's kind of my nature. I'm going to try to teach and coach a little bit. All right, look at Habakkuk chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 2 through 4. We're going to talk about the personal vision and the corporate vision, and where does our current vision fit in what God's doing in the body of Christ as a whole. All right, here's what it says. It says, then the Lord answered me, and said, says the prophet Habakkuk, who's kind of coming and talking to the Lord. A lot of times prophets simply prophesy from the Lord to the people. All right, from the Lord to the people. Habakkuk's an interesting prophet because he also talks from the people to the Lord in the scripture. So he's got that going on. Verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Everybody say, write the vision. And make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So the Lord answers Habakkuk, he answers the prophet. The prophet's talking to the Lord about what's going on in Israel at the time. God gives him an answer. How many of you believe that we have a God who answers us? Amen? It's not a God that just leaves us alone forever. It's not a God that leaves us in silence. I'm telling you what, God's not going to answer every question we ask of him, right? Some questions we ask aren't wise. Sometimes I almost know. How many of y'all have known when you were asking God a question and you just knew you were headed in an unhealthy, unwise mode in life, right? It's like, and I almost know if I'm going to ask about something like that, I'm not going to get answered. But whenever it's healthy and I'm asking out of a love and a reverence and a faith, God answers me. He's a God that answers by fire. He's a God that answers through his people. He's a God who answers through his word. He's not going to leave you alone. He's a God that answers. You ask, God will answer you. And God answers this prophet, and he's talking to him about a vision and things that are going to come to pass for Israel. And he says this. He says, write the vision. Everybody say, write the vision. Come on, one of the most powerful things you can do for your personal vision in life or corporate vision for the church is we need to write the vision and make it plain. If you're taking notes right now, you ought to just write down, number one, write the vision. Get it written out. What do you see yourself doing? See, the scripture says where there is no vision, the people perish. Some of the saddest people on the earth are visionless people. They're people that are just existing, floating, sliding through life. Now, I've watched them, and as a pastor, typically they're the people who self-destruct faster than anyone else. You go to a visionless part of town. Let me ask you a question. Go to the part of town where men don't get up in the morning and go to work. What will you find there? You will find every vice, you'll find every form of abuse, you'll find every illegal activity you can come up with. So how many know whenever guys aren't doing something, and I'm not picking on anybody unemployed today, come on, we pray that we get better jobs and God employs us. Somebody say amen to that. I'm not picking on anybody like that, but you got to know if you've got nothing to do tomorrow, how many know you can end up being your own worst enemy? Somebody say amen to that. I mean, I used to watch us. Right before me and my brothers got saved and started living right for the Lord, we all worked in the cattle industry. All right, in the cattle industry, sale barns around the country, we'd buy all these cattle out of sale barns. And those sale barns, they shut down on the week of the 4th of July, and they shut down around Christmas. And if you wanted to see a bunch of cowboys get themselves in next level trouble, whenever those sale barns shut down and we did not have work to do, it's like everyone was drunk, everyone was messed up, everyone had been to the dope man's house, and everyone was trying to kill themselves. Why? Because we had nothing to do at that time. And when we were visionless, and it was as simple as getting up, sorting the cattle, loading the cattle trucks, taking care of the cattle, that kept us out of so much trouble. How many of y'all would say that you've been in a part of life where you didn't have enough to do and you got yourself in trouble for it? Let me see your hands. Come on, come on. Look at your neighbor and just say, get busy. Tell him that, huh? Come on, get busy. Let's do something. And here's what he says. He says this. He says, you need something to do, and then you need to write the vision and make it plain. Jesse told the story on Sunday morning. She and I, we were listening to a guy preach vision. She wanted to make the vision so plain in our life, the vision for our family. We have personal vision for ourselves. We have a family vision as well. Jesse and I are committed. We're going to raise Christian kids that honor God all the days of their life and never give a day to the devil. Come on, if you think that's a good vision, somebody say amen to that. We're going to raise Christian kids that honor God all of their life and never give a day to the devil. We're going to raise Christian kids that honor God all the days of their life and never give a day to the devil. We're going to raise Christian kids that honor God all the days of their life and never give a day to the devil. We're going to raise Christian kids that honor God all the days of their life and never give a day to the devil. I'm telling you, the people of River City Church, we're going to raise Christian kids that honor God all the days of their life and never give a day to the devil. I'm preaching, I'm supposed to be teaching, but I'm telling you, you're going to raise Christian kids and grandkids that honor God all the days of their life and never give a day to the devil in Jesus' mighty name. It's part of our family vision. We have a vision like that. And then we have a vision that we're going to have one of the greatest marriages in the world. I mean, our marriage is going to work. We're going to stay married. I'm going to be nice to Jesse, and Jesse's going to be nice to me. And we're going to have endless love, baby, just like one of those songs, right? My endless love, you know? I never do stuff like that, but it felt funny right now, so I went with it, all right? I went with it. I'm not a big Instagrammer. You know how people start? I Instagram, but you know how people are always talking about their baby on Instagram? My baby, she's so wonderful. He's so hot, my boo, and all that stuff. I'm like, get a room already, y'all. All right, so I'm just saying, we want our marriage to thrive. It's part of our personal vision for our family. Because if our marriage thrives, I'm sorry, somebody's got to start screening these notes before I get up here. That's all I got to say. Jesse says she wants that job. If our marriage thrives, I believe it's a testimony of the glory of God to people around us. If our marriage thrives, it's a testimony of the glory of God to people around us. And I also know the converse is true. If our marriage falls apart, it's going to be hard on the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in Owensboro, Kentucky. So the ante's doubled, number one, because I'm a Christian leader, right? The ante's up, and I get it. But we're going to have a great marriage, and we're going to die married. And I'll tell you, Jessie's going to weep at my coffin, and she's never going to marry another man after I die. She's probably just going to stay at my grave for the rest of her life. That's what she's going to do. And it's going to happen very late in life. So that's a part of our personal vision. Part of our personal vision. I'm just telling you the way personal vision or family vision works. So we're believing God to be debt-free and to be in a financial position where we're not dependent on any man. We're dependent on God alone, and where we can be a blessing to the church and never a burden. How many of y'all want to finish or get there? That's where I want to get. It's part of my vision. So vision for my life. And so I think you got to start to craft your own personal vision. I'll say that tonight. So let's do this exercise. Get out a piece of paper, pen. Get out your cell phone and open up to notes. Not to Instagram, not to Facebook, not to Tinder right now. Don't swipe right. It'll get you in trouble. But you ought to open up to notes tonight. Come on, you stay off Tinder, Grant. Right there. I'm watching you, son. You stay off of it. I'm picking on you. You're on the front row. Open it up right now. And I want you to begin to craft some of your personal vision. What's your personal vision?
Take a couple minutes and do it. What do you want? What do you want out of life? Write the vision and make it plain. Some of you want to own your own business. You ought to write that down right now. Come on, let faith rise up in your heart. You can do something significant and greater than anybody in your family before you. Huh? You don't have to be chained by anybody else's failure. You don't have to be chained by your past or your own failure. Come on. God can do something through you, significant. Things can change very quickly. What a difference a day makes. Some of you feel down today like nothing's happening today. How many of y'all been down one day and on top of the world the next? Come on, tomorrow just might be your day to step on up. So you ought to get it out. You ought to write the vision. Here's what the prophet said. Write the vision and make it plain. Telling you, studies show, start writing things down. You ought to write something about your financial future, your career there. You ought to write something down about your marriage, married people. For those of you that want to get married, you ought to write down that you're going to marry a Christian person. Come on. The right kind of person with the right kind of belief systems. Write something down about your marriage. It's going to get better this year. It's going to get better next year. About your children. Write something down about that. Write the vision and make it plain. Write something down there about who you are in the church world, how you're going to be a leader and a servant. You're coming up to the next level. Write the vision and make it plain. While you're writing that, the studies show again and again and again and again that there is such a difference between the person who says they're going to do something and the person who writes it down and commits to it. Writing it down, it's like right here in the Word of God, and it's supernatural. Now, I'm telling you, there's been whole success courses put together on this simple principle. A lot of the success courses, they tell this again and again and again. And it's a biblical principle that's been pulled into the business world and all sorts of different books, self-help books. How many of you have ever seen this principle in one of those books that trains people in the business world? You've seen it out there? They know it. Writing the vision is strong. All right, write the vision and make it plain. Why? Why does he say that? Write the vision and make it plain on tablets. We don't have any tablets. I guess they're PC guys. Habakkuk like PCs. You know, I put it on tablets. Nobody's laughing, but that's funny. Computer Dave laughed. He's the only one, all right, because that's his world. You like that? I did that just for you, Dave, right there. You can bask in that tonight. That he may run who reads it. Write it down, make it plain. Why? So somebody can run with it when they read it. And I'm telling you, whenever you have the vision in your life, you have it written down, the most important person that can run with something in our lives is, it's right here, right? Huh? It's right here. Now, Habakkuk is prophesying to Israel, and he's got to make things plain so Israel can hear the word of the Lord and apply it in their life. He's a messenger, a prophet. But I can prophesy to people, and I got to make things plain as a Christian leader, and you do as well when the Lord's speaking through you to somebody. But I'm telling you what, we ought to get a vision plain, written down, where we can run with it ourselves. How many of you would admit at times you're your own worst enemy to the vision God has for your life, right? You get it plain so you can run with it. Why? Vision doesn't come to pass till you start putting wheels on the word. It all comes down to action, action steps. Come on, faith without works is what, church? It's dead. You got to get a vision plan. You got to have it written down, and now you have to activate it. Early on in the Christian world, as a church leader, there were a lot of us. I'm 41 now, but we started this church. I was 26 when I first came to town, turned 27 shortly after we got here. And we would have these meetings about what we wanted to do as a church or what the staff wanted to do or what our vision was. And there were meetings. Has anybody ever been in a meeting that just keeps going everywhere but doesn't arrive anywhere? Anybody ever been in a meeting like that? And everybody's talked about the way they feel, about world hunger, about what's going on the news, about what's wrong with the school system or what's wrong with this political system. And everybody's talked about everything that's out there. But at the end of the meeting, no one takes any action to do anything about anything that was just discussed. How many of you hate things like that with a passion? Do not include me. Do not ask me to come to it. If there's no action involved, I don't want to go. Somebody say amen to that. Because things like that never amount to anything. Vision has to be written. It has to be plain. Why? So somebody can run with it. Come on. Somebody say, I'm going to run with it. That's it. So I think it's like this. You never have a talk like that in life or a meeting like that without an action item. Somebody say an action item. Come on, say it again, an action item. One more time, an action item. If you discuss something about vision for your personal life, your familial life, your church life, when you come out of that discussion, what is our action? What is our next step? What do we do with what we've just talked about? If we're going to make our marriage better, how are we going to make our marriage better? If we're going to be better parents and get our kids more active or away from the video games or, you know, the stuff we deal with as parents, how are we going to put wheels on that word? What's the action step? Are we going to have a family night? Are we going to schedule a date night? Are we going to save 5% of all of our income and invest it somewhere? What's the action item? So you go through the talk, you get the vision, now you establish the action item. All right, now once you have the action item, you don't just have it out there anywhere. He goes on and he says this. He says, let's look back down at the text. Some things feel like they're going forever. And he says this. He says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Everybody say an appointed time. Now, he's saying some of this stuff's going to come to pass in the prophetic sense, even though it feels like it's not, when you read this text. But I like to take this and just give me some liberty to teach us and help us with something. I think we get a vision, we write it and make it plain so we can run with it, and then we put an appointed time on it. God's got an appointed time for his vision. So if you got an action item, come on, set a completion date on it. When are you going to do that? Come on, how many of y'all think that sounds good preaching? Like that'll help us all to put that. Now I'm going to get it done by this date, right? Right now I'm trying to lose some weight, and I was getting, you know, a little bit large and in charge. I was happy at the trough and that kind of thing. And but it's not good, and I know it. And here's the deal. I said, I'm going to lose some weight. I went and I preached in Alaska for Daniel Bracken. Daniel Bracken and I both started the keto diet. It's another form for, you know, low carb, high protein, whatever you want to call it. We both started that about a year and a half ago. I lasted 3 months. Daniel lasted 14 months. So I run into Daniel, and Daniel's a lean, mean, killing machine. And here I am, you know, looking like Danny DeVito or something. And I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. And he's all thin, and I'm all fat. And I'm like, I'm coming at you, Bracken. That's what I'm doing. And next year, I'm going to be thinner than you. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to have to get after to do that. I don't say I'll be thinner than Bracken. We're built totally different. I take that all back. But I'm going to be in good shape next time I see Bracken, all right? So have measured expectations here tonight. And here's the deal. You got to have a time, okay? I'm going to do this by this time. How many have ever met somebody that says, I'm going to start a business? Well, what kind of business do you want to start? Well, I don't know. I want to start some kind of business. They haven't picked a path, and they're not working on a skill set. I've seen guys say it before in ministry. I want to be a pastor. Well, where are you volunteering in church? Well, nowhere yet. Well, you're never going to become a pastor until you put wheels on the word and you start doing what you're supposed to do today and you work with what you have right now. And if you work with what you have right now and try to increase your knowledge on whatever thing it is right now, you'll give God something to work with. You'll get the car in drive, and now God will start to steer the car. But how many know you got to do something today? You got to have a move today, and you got to set some times on it. See, like a vision without an action item and a timeline is only a fantasy. A vision without it, yeah, that's good. You ought to write that down. A vision without an action item and a timeline is only a fantasy. A vision without an action item and a timeline is only a fantasy. Amen? So think about vision. Well, my vision. I'm running out of time here, but what is your vision for your life? And here's the last thought I want to end with. On Sunday morning, we're gonna really talk about some things we're going to be doing as a church. This is where the rubber meets the road. These are the things we're going to try coming up in 2019 as a church. We're going to believe for God's blessing. We're going to throw the ball down the field. Come on, somebody. God's going to bless it. And I'll tell you what, sometimes you throw the ball down the field and it gets picked off, but you just start again, and you get the ball back, and you start fighting again. You don't give up because something doesn't work. Somebody say amen to that. I think you just keep throwing the ball down the field. Amen? Keep fighting. You keep pushing forward, keep calling the plays, and then the blessing of God comes in your life if you don't give up. If you give up, you don't win. But here's the question I have about your vision for your life. Do you have a vision, personal vision for your life that fits into the corporate vision of what God is doing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a vision in your life that fits into the corporate vision of what God's doing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have a vision but you don't see where it fits in, you ought to find a way to tether your personal vision to the corporate vision of the church, because now you've given reason to the Spirit of God to anoint what you're doing if it benefits what He's doing in the world, which is the building of His church. Give God a reason to get behind what you're doing. Somebody say amen to that. I think about this. I'm reading a book right now. He's a Louisiana author, and he's kind of a motivational guy. He's a sales guy, really. But he's gotten up on the New York Times bestsellers. His last name's Cardone. And it was funny. I was with the pastor that grew up down there, and he saw me reading that book. And he's like, that guy's from my town. He's from Baton Rouge. And I was reading through his book, and he's a big vision guy, and he kind of is a proponent of whatever you want to do in your life. It's going to take 10 times the energy to do it. The book's called 10 times or 10X, something like that. But whatever you want to do in your life, it'll probably take you 10 times the energy you think it will. And if you want to be the best at what you do, you ought to get ready to, if you're a sales guy and they're doing 100 calls a day or 10 calls a day, you do 10 times. You do 100 calls a day. How many think that'd get you ahead in life? And if somebody else is doing this, you find a way to do 10 times what they're doing. And if you do that very long, you'll rise to the top in life. But I watch one of his things he talks about. He's a churchman, and he says this. He says, you ought to have a massive vision for your life, but you can't make your vision just about you. Because a vision that's just about you is hard to stay motivated by. Because when guys have visions that are just about money or just about stuff or just about them, they'll often attain that vision. Even if they attain it, then they self-destruct because now they've reached their goals and it's not tethered to a larger purpose. So he said, my vision, I think he had a vision of a net worth like $100 million. And he said this, why do I want $100 million? I want to be the largest donor in my church, and I want to help my church make a difference in humanity and the world that we live in. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good vision, isn't it? This guy said, I'm going to do this to make a difference in humanity. So it wasn't just about him, that there's something that fuels the vision. And when I saw that, I said, there's a man with a personal vision that fits inside the corporate vision of what God's doing in the earth. Now God has a reason to bless it. So what is it? I've watched guys struggle with this. They see what they were called to do, but they had no idea whatsoever how it fit within the church because people didn't make it easy. You know what? Some of you school teachers, you could be the best school teacher in America. You say, I'm going to be the best school teacher in America, and I'm going to be an example to children what Jesus looks like every day, and I'm going to raise up Christian students, and I'm going to be an anointed witness, and I'm telling you what, my schoolroom is going to flow with the glory and the power of God. How many of you think that's a vision that's bigger, right? You're saying, hey, I'm going to do this for kids. Might be I'm going to be a witness in the martial arts world where people see Jesus through my life. I'm going to be a witness in the computer industry. In that world where people see the glory and the goodness of God. Now I'm going to grow a business that's generous, that helps flow and go in the church. You already do that, but I'm saying it can be like that at a higher level. You know, my dad looked at me not many years before he died. He said this to me. He said, you know, I heard guys talk about calling and purpose. So they didn't really teach this at the church we came up in. And he said, but when they talked about a call or a purpose, they only talked about that around preachers. How many know we need a lot more in the body of Christ than preachers? Amen? If we're all preaching, nobody's listening, right? It's like being at my house. Everybody's preaching, nobody's listening, right? It's what my house is like. And we need more than that in the body of Christ, right? So we can get something done together. My dad looked at me not many years before he died, and he said, you know, people talked about vision and calling and that kind of thing. And I never thought it pertained to me. Now, I've just started realizing in my life that I was called to do business to help the church. Nobody made that plain to him. Isn't that sad that you could have a Christian, or he wasn't a Christian until later in life, but a business guy that sat in pews in a church that never made that connection, that their personal vision could make a difference in the corporate vision of what God's doing in the house. Come on, I believe God's going to take us, all of us, different parts in the body, knit us together and do something supernatural in Owensboro, Kentucky, in the state of Kentucky, in the nation, in Texas, down the road in Henderson. Come on, how about Evansville and Bowling Green, some of these other cities around? I think God can do something supernatural. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. I'm out of time tonight. And let's give the Lord one more hand clap whenever you... Come on, you were clapping so good. Let's just clap our hands. Where does the vision fit? Where does the vision fit? You got to ask yourself that. You ought to go home. I'll give you some homework, all right, tonight. You ought to go to the end of the book of Matthew and read the Great Commission, okay? It's the Great Commission. I read the Great Commandment to you on Sunday morning. Read the Great Commission. It's where Jesus talks about going into all the world, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them all things he's commanded us, making disciples, doing all that, and that he would be with us. Y'all are familiar with the Great Commission. I want you to read that. Now I want you to think a way you can take a personal vision of your life and help it fuel the Great Commission, right? Help it fuel our church corporately, us together, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ here. What can I do with my life that helps fuel these purposes? How can I help disciple? How can I help teach the things Jesus commanded in the New Testament? How can I help be a lifestyle witness of these things? How can I help pay for this? How can I help serve in these areas? How can I help pray for this? Come on. And if we start thinking like that as a church body, then we'll have purpose again. I'll tell you what, it's the kind of thing that gets you up in the morning. How can I make a difference? When you live like that and you think like that, things become larger, more exciting, more fun. Joy comes back to your life. Whenever you get up and just say, well, what can I do to make my life better? I'm telling you, things become smaller, more painful. There's less joy attached. We're not going to be those kind of people. We're going to be people of great vision that fit in God's vision. Amen. I want to pray over you. Just lift a hand to heaven if you're comfortable with it tonight. Father, I pray over these people, these your sheep, this your flock. And I pray that we be people of vision. We declare vision into this house. Lord, show us what to do. The vision's for the appointed time. Lord, we believe that it won't tarry. Though it tarries, it will not tarry, like the prophet said. So, Lord, we say we're going to be diligent to write the vision, write the goal you give us for our life. Make it plain. We're going to run with it. We're going to go after it. We're going to go higher in life. Now, help us corporately, we pray, as a church body. I pray that your vision would pulse through our veins and that people would run with the vision of the church. Lord, we pray for this coming Sunday that you would anoint the services, anoint us, make us a people of vision. I pray you set this house on fire. I pray you set this city on fire. I pray you bring revival to Owensboro, Kentucky. I pray that it flows out into our families, into our sons, into our daughters, into the politics of this city, and that it makes a difference. Make it hard to go to hell from Owensboro, Kentucky. We say the vision, it'll come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. Now bless these your people, lead, guide, direct them, and help them supernaturally. I pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Stay out of trouble. Come on, we'll see you on Sunday morning. Bye-bye.